Good morning, Papa Springs. All those who are here and following us online, several announcements for you today. The first one comes from the church office. If you're planning to tithe or give some sort of offering this month and you would like it to be counted for this year's contributions, Vicki needs to have that in the office by Tuesday, December 29th, so she can get all of that counted and in the computer and to the bank. And if you are giving by PayPal, if that can also be done by the evening of Tuesday, December 29th. Andy is doing very well. Many of you have asked how he's doing. He made an appearance on Wednesday because he's getting stir crazy, but he's doing well. And this Wednesday is his secondary operation to put in his garage door opener, as he calls it. So that's this Wednesday, if you'll be thinking of him. We will still have a candlelight service this year. That will be on Wednesday, December 16th. It will be limited seating as it is now, wearing a mask as it is now, all of the same precautions, but that will be at 6 on Wednesday, December 16th, and it will also be streamed live for anyone who would like to follow along. Youth this week is just middle school. We have a Christmas project. If you're planning to come, please just let me know so we have enough tables set up and we can spread out accordingly. And two more extra important announcements. The first is, if you're on church council, you know we don't typically meet in December, and we're not going to meet this month, but you will receive an email from your staff tomorrow. Please check it, and please respond. And also, we'd like to thank everyone who, if you've been here since August and you've come and you've worn your mask, thank you for wearing your mask, and thank you for leaving the pews that are marked empty and doing all of those things to help keep us safe. Poplar Springs has been a safe place to be, to come and worship. And we just ask that if you've watched the news or you've kept up with the numbers, you know, numbers are continuing to rise at great pace in this county and surrounding counties. So please continue to do those things, wearing your mask and leaving our pews empty. And please also continue to take your congregating and your fellowshipping outside. We know that you are glad to see each other, and we're glad to see you too. But if you'll keep your mask on and do that as you leave. And also, please, 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 if you are feeling under the weather in any sort of way, watch us in your pajamas from home. I know it says the attendance is 325, but that was left up since March. We're not taking attendance. If you look at the newsletter, it says zero every week. And when you get to the pearly gates and they ask for your attendance record to see if you can get in, they're going to give you a pass for this year. So if you are any kind of maybe sick, please stay home. Even if you're a teacher, let us know. We'll find a fill-in. Even if you signed up for nursery, let us know. It's okay. We'd rather this be a safe place because you guys are leaving here and going to your families and your students and your classrooms and your patients and all of the people around you. So I know it looks like a small group here, but if even just a few of us got sick, we would spread that like wildfire. So please, and thank you. Continue to do those things, and thank you for doing those things. All right, as we enter into worship, let's turn our eyes and our gaze to the Advent wreath. Today, on the second Sunday of Advent, we light the candle of peace. This candle reminds us of the peace that was ushered into the world through the birth of a Savior, the true peace that can only come from God. Bless us this day, O God, with your compassion and your love. Prepare our hearts to receive your word. Prepare our lives for the changes you are bringing. Shine upon us with the fiery truth of your Spirit to purify and refine us and to guide our steps as we seek to walk your path of peace. Amen.
Stood through Thank you, ladies. As we come to be the church at prayer during our time of community prayer, we certainly want to remember Scott McCraw, Peggy Putnam's son, who was in ICU earlier this week. We, of course, want to remember our fearless leader, pastor, mentor, and friend, Andy, as he has his second surgery on this Wednesday to install the battery pack / garage door opener, as he affectionately refers to it. So you can go ahead and begin to prepare all your Energizer Bunny jokes. I'm sure he will appreciate those once he returns. So he wants to pass along his thanks and for the prayers and encouragement that you all have given and will continue to give to him and his family. So thank you for the way you supported him. And I know he looks forward to being back here with us live in person. And today, as we light the second candle of Advent, we want to pray for peace. And in the midst of everything that's happened this year, I think a healthy dose of peace would certainly be welcome. Would you pray with me? Dear God, as we come into this place today, God, whether we are in the sanctuary or at our homes, wherever we find ourselves today, we thank you for the opportunity that you have given us to pause, to reflect, to pray, and to worship you. God, we thank you for this season called Advent. We thank you for the opportunity to prepare our hearts and minds to celebrate the birth of your Son. God, we thank you for your peace. As your word teaches us, God, it is a peace that passes all understanding. God, we thank you that that peace is available to us. God, we certainly want to remember Scott as he continues with his health struggles. We pray for Andy and we pray for Kim as they enter into this time of a second surgery this week. God, be with them and give them that peace that passes all understanding. We look forward to the days ahead where he will be back with us, filling this room with the joy that only he brings. God, we thank you for a moment to gather together and worship you. God, we love you, but it is only because you first loved us. It's in your precious and holy Son's name we pray. Amen. It's my privilege and pleasure and honor to introduce to you today a good friend and mentor to me, Reverend Keith Dixon, someone who is no stranger to this church, who has led Bible study and been a part of this congregation in many different ways over the years. So Keith, we're excited to have you today, and we look forward to your good word.
Getting harder to be a preacher nowadays. You have to have a Bible, you have to have a watch, and now you have to have a mask. You know, it's that kind of thing. And the whole paraphernalia you have to have just keeps growing, it seems like. But it's certainly good to be here this morning and to stand in for Andy. And sorry y'all have to suffer through that, but he's the one that asked, okay? So remember that, and certainly glad that he is doing very well, and trust that each and every one of you and your families are as well. I do have one prayer request that Andy asked me to mention, and I was going to mention for the congregation. I shared it in Sunday school this morning. As Hank and Angie Barker, they're friends of ours from Roxborough. They've been here with us when they visited down here. They're the only people I know that vacation in Boiling Springs, North Carolina. You know what I'm saying? And but Angie's had a lot of health problems, and she's been on dialysis in the hospital for a couple of weeks, and now they found out they really can't do dialysis anymore, and so they're going to be sending her home this week just to make her comfortable. So I just, if you don't mind, they think the world of Andy, and they're just really special people. So if you remember Hank and Angie Barker in your prayers, I would appreciate that so very much. I hope you're ready for Christmas. It's a hard Christmas to kind of get ready for, isn't it? We've gotten out of all our routines, and everybody except the UPS, FedEx, you know, all those guy people, they're just going crazy. And I know the FedEx guy comes to our house, he's going to run out of dog biscuits one of these days. I wish he'd leave a Bojangles biscuit once in a while. The dog gets better than we do. But it's that kind of thing. But it's interesting in all the ways that we are living our lives nowadays. There's still one thing that I think that we need to search for that we sometimes missed in the regular time of Christmas, and we can certainly miss now with everything that we are experiencing this day and time, and that is the voice of God. And listening to him as he speaks to us and says to us once again, I'm here. And I've got something for you, for each and every one of you, whether you are a Christian or even a non-Christian, that'll change your life. And what a great Christmas that would be if we would always hear that and continue to listen for that voice. And that's why I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, when God spoke again. And Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8 is what I want to read to you. And it is interesting, as you know, Mark is probably one of the first gospel that was written. And Mark in his gospel tells us about John the Baptist here. And if you want to read along, you're certainly welcome. In Mark chapter 1, verse 1, I love what he says here. It says, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He doesn't leave any question about where he's going on this, does it? And he says, it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. And John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for your love and your grace that came on that first Christmas season. But thank you so much for your love and grace that we continue to experience each and every day of our lives. And Father, I thank you for the words and for the way that you spoke. And Father, I thank you for the way that you still speak and that you call. And Father, as we hear your call and we answer your call, we are changed. Father, I pray that as you speak to us today, we will have ears that are ready to hear. And Father, an answer for you from the very beginning, and that is yes. Whatever you ask is yes. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You know, silence is a frightening thing a lot of times, isn't it? It really is. And if you're in a dark room, I guess, at night, and everything is silent and there's nothing going on, then the sound of a voice or somebody, any sound, it might be a creak, it might be something when you're walking on the floor, it kind of gives you a little eerie feeling, isn't it? It kind of breaks the silence and you don't know what it is. Silence, even in our day and time, in the many forms that we can speak to each other, certainly we can do it audibly, we can, and we've got text and we've got email. It looks like there wouldn't really be a lot of silence, you know. In other words, a word from somebody else that you've asked for that's coming to you. Communication ought to be a lot easier nowadays, shouldn't it? It really should. I know I've been working on a project at the Baptist Retirement Homes and working with a certain vendor, and it's a pretty big project. It really is that we're doing. And one of the things that's not been very good is communication on the other side. They're doing something for us. And, you know, I just can't get them to let me know when I'm going to see it. You know what I'm saying? So you check your computer 5 or 6 times a day to see if there's an email that's come. You check your messages more than a dozen times a day to see if some word has come. But, you know, even through email and through text, there can be silence. There really can. And as we look at this passage of Scripture today, it comes on the heels of silence. Silence. Because at the time, from the time of the prophet Malachi that we read in the past in the Scriptures, until we come to the Gospels, which we're reading from today, over 400 years of silence of the voice of God had taken place. God had remained silent. He had. Can you imagine what that was to people who wanted to hear the voice of God? To prophets who wanted to hear a voice from God, from people who were searching now for generations, 400 years, people were restless for a word from God. No doubt, I think there were probably many who claimed to hear. I think they did. Because as we look at it, the religious establishment of the day up until Jesus was, God spoke again, and we start hearing from John the Baptist, and we start seeing angels calling people, telling us about the Son of God who was come. There were many who probably claimed to hear, and the religious establishment, they were continuing to do business as usual. But the Bible says that God had not yet spoken. And you know what? There's something about a man-made, manufactured voice that never satisfies the soul. But thanks be to God, he decided to speak again. It's kind of like as we think of, I heard one time several years ago of a meteor that came rocketing through the sky, and it landed in Western Canada as a ball of fire that I would have loved to have seen. A lot of people did not see it, but it was something that was talked about all over the world. And in that same way, God chose to speak again at the coming of Jesus Christ. And in this scripture today, he is speaking again, and he is breaking the painful weight that is going to bring hope even though a lot of people are not going to hear it and be able to experience it firsthand, but it's still reverberating through all of the thousands of years since that time. Think for a few moments with me about where and in whom God spoke. You know, as we look at this Christmas story, it's an amazing thing. Can you imagine that old couple who was too old really to have a child, to know that they were going to be parents of John the Baptist, the forerunner of our Savior? And how God spoke through an angel to a little virgin girl that nobody knew anything about. And then there was that young carpenter that was engaged to be married to that virgin girl that nobody knew anything about. There were wise men in a foreign land. There were shepherds that, well, they were just smelly human beings who stayed out in the field watching over sheep. That's all you could say. And then in the scripture as we read today, there was a guy who wore camel hair, a leather belt type of guy. I guess you could say in our day and time, the supreme outdoorsman. He ate locust and wild honey. And he is the one who is going to be the forerunner. He is the one who's the appointed spokesman of God to announce that the long-awaited Messiah has now come. God's silence has been broken. It's also interesting, I think, as we look at this passage, that John's announcement didn't start in the city, but it started in the wilderness. John's announcement did not start with the establishment, but it started with the city dwellers, the Judeans and country people from all around the Jordan who went out. No, because of God speaking and the message that he had through John, they were compelled and drawn to the wilderness to hear this simple message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight his paths. And John goes on to preach, and there's one translation, the Amplified Bible, that I love to read, where it says he preaches, repent and bear fruit worthy of repentance. In other words, he's saying, what a hope here. What a challenge for us to be able to bear fruit in our lives worthy of our repentance, of our forgiveness that comes as a result of repentance and our salvation through Jesus Christ. Fruit worthy of a changed life. Lives that have witnessed the work of Christ, lives that have experienced the living Christ, and lives of people who have heard his voice. Before the people, they had seen, before this time, the people had seen Pharisees. They were kind of maybe their symbol of those who were seeking to be faithful to God, the religious minded. They had seen the Sadducees. They were more political in their mindness as they were trying to lead and persuade people. But as they went out into the wilderness, they were hearing the very same message of John the Baptist that was changing lives, but they didn't really hear. But I think John, as he was preaching, he was helping them understand, and he was saying something like, in this era, you're not going to be able to fall back on Abraham, our father. You're not going to be able to fall back on the traditions, because that's the substitute of a real relationship with God. Their faith was one that was largely lived out because it was lived out through their own position and piety. It was one that had laws and rules. It was one that could never bring anybody close to what God wanted to really do. But John was telling people, as we look in this passage of scripture and as God was speaking, about a fire that would burn in the soul of those who were compelled to follow Jesus. That's different. That was God speaking again. He was about to start something. Not something that was going to be voted on by men to see if it's going to be approved or not, but something that would either be accepted or something that would be rejected. You see, God speaking came really to those who were humble, and I think that's something we need to remember. John the Baptist himself, as he was one who was out preaching about the Messiah who was coming, Jesus who was about to begin his ministry, how He says, I'm not even worthy to tie the straps of his sandals. We see Mary, who was one that God spoke, and she was going to be the one that was going to bear the Savior of the world. And she said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, the most humble of all, says, I'm a servant. That's what it is. And Joseph, he was going to be the earthly father of the Lord Jesus, and he was just a carpenter. But what a carpenter he was, because he was one who was obedient to the angel's message and said, we'll follow God's plan. Do you hear God speaking in all of this, and do you hear him saying something to every one of us? You see, before it was the prophets who were thought to be the only ones that could hear God. It was the religious leaders and the priests. But now God, as he is speaking after 400 years of silence, is going to be speaking in and through ordinary people. He's going to speak through fishermen and tax collectors and even Samaritans and blind people and deaf people and lepers and outcasts. There's a new day that's come. And that's what John's announcing. And as I think about this passage of Scripture, and I think about our day, I wonder, could it be in these times in which we are living that maybe God is wanting to usher in a new day again? It's not going to be a new Savior. We don't need one of those. Jesus is going to be the Savior forever and ever. But more, it's about us. It's about him wanting to get our attention once again. And maybe he's telling us that a lot of our programs and our plans that we've depended on for years and years, now that they've been put on hold, he might want to speak to us and say, wait a minute, follow me. I've got something I want to say to you. In order for us to be the people of God in the church of Christ, there may be another way and some other ways and some new ways to reach people for Christ and live out our lives worthy of the salvation that we've received. In this season of Advent, I really believe God wants to speak to our hearts. I think he wants to do it every day. But especially in this season, he wants to speak to our hearts. He wants to, I really believe, rekindle the fire of the souls of his people, his church. And in that, he wants to continue to give us vision, maybe a greater vision than ever before, and also help us to realize that we have the power to accomplish his purpose right here among us. We need to renew that sense every day as well. Oh, he is calling us to share his love around all, for those who are around all of us, so that they can know him as personal Lord and Savior. After all, isn't that what he came to do? He came to seek and to save those who were lost. And John called for people to meet Jesus, the Messiah. But I want you to always know, John never said, come and meet John the Baptist. He always pointed to Jesus. He's the one. He's speaking. Have you heard him yet? Have you heard him yet? Oh, we hear lots of things in our day and time, don't we? We turn on the TV, we hear about the same thing every day almost, don't we? We really do. Those messages that we hear are the same. A lot of times, if you look at our conversations with each other, they're all centered around a lot of the same topics nowadays. It seems like a lot of the things that we've got to talk about have all been boiled down to just a few things, hadn't it? When was the last time we really talked to somebody, had the opportunity, or even took the opportunity to maybe take a conversation a little bit further and talk to somebody about Jesus? Now's the time when people want to hear. I was on the phone this week with a friend of mine who is a pastor in Raleigh area. And on Thursday we were talking. We had several things that we were talking about. And he was telling me about his church and That's one of the things that I'm doing is when I'm talking to pastors all the time, talking about their experiences. And I'm going to tell you, they're working hard and staffs are working hard. You really need to pray for them. It is a tough environment to be a pastor and to be a staff and to do the things that you need to do. You understand that, and you do pray for our people. Double up, okay? And a lot of them are tired. They really are, like so many others. But my friend was talking about his church, and they certainly had stopped doing their services for a long time, and they were worshiping virtually just like we are now. And just a few weeks ago, they started having services in person, and they're doing the mask, and they're doing the social distancing, just like we're doing here. And as we kept on with the conversation, they said, "Keith, you'll never believe what happened the last two Sundays at my church." And I said, "Well, what was that?" He said, "Well, I'm going to tell you, Sunday before last," and he said, "their attendance that they're having right now is about 120, and their sanctuary is, I mean, they're spaced out. They've got a new sanctuary that they'd started before COVID and finished it up during COVID, and they were so excited about what was going to happen. But they were like all the rest of the churches, you know. They've got a lot fewer than they used to have. About 120 a Sunday now," he says. He said, "but Sunday before last," he said, "we had 22 people join our church." He said, "it took us 15 to 20 minutes just to introduce them all to the congregation and to vote on them and all kinds of things." He said, "I've never seen anything like that before in my life." He said, "it was amazing." He said, "but you know what? Last Sunday," he said, "we have 5 more people come and join our church." He said, "but I want to tell you about what I thought was one of the most interesting." He said, 3 of those 5 people was a single mother with 2 teenage children. And he said, "the lady called me on the phone. I didn't know her. She had moved into the area, had not really been to any churches at all that were around there. And she told me that she and her children had started watching our online service." And he said, "they had never been to church. They'd never talked to anybody from that church, even though they lived in the community." And he said, "but as she was telling me about her life and telling me about some of her experience, she made this statement. She said, 'I knew that something was missing my life.' And she said, 'as I continued to watch your services online, I realized it was Jesus.'" The lady and both of her teenagers made professions of faith and will be baptized into the membership of that church. But even better than that, the family of God. Remember John preaching about the Holy Spirit? He said, "I can baptize you with water, but the one who's coming, it's going to baptize you with the Spirit." That was the Spirit at work just outside of Raleigh. But I want to tell you something. He's not just working north of Raleigh. Even in the days of COVID, if we want to call it that, Jesus is changing lives. Is he speaking to you? There may be someone who is watching this broadcast and probably saying, "boy, I could have listened to somebody a lot better than you, Keith Dix," and I'll tell you that now. But it's not the words of Keith. But if there's someone speaking to your heart as you're listening to us now, it's the one who came that we read about in the scripture. It's the one whose name is Jesus, and there's never been anybody else like him. And if there's an emptiness inside, if there's something missing in your life, if there's a joy that you're not experiencing even in the toughest times of life, and a peace that we lit a candle about, You know, there's something about Jesus that's amazing. As I've been a pastor for all these years, I've seen some people in some of the most incredible experiences of their life. And I have known people who knew the Lord and who knew him personally and closely. And even in the toughest times of their life, they knew what that candle was lit about, because they had a peace that, as the scripture says, passes understanding. What's that peace? It's the Holy Spirit living in them, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's saying, I'm not going to leave you alone. God was silent for 400 years before the first advent, but he's never been silent since, because through his Spirit, he's calling me and he's calling you. First of all, to salvation. And I thank God so much at the age of 9 years old, he called me. And I'm thankful I had the good sense to listen to his voice and to step out and say, I'll follow you. But also, he's calling each and every one of us to live lives that are worthy of our repentance and our salvation. And that kind of life is one that follows the voice of God. How do you hear the voice of God? I've been asked that so many times. I think you have to do what we see in this passage of scripture this morning. First of all, we have to humble ourselves. We have to be like John the Baptist. We have to say, you know, I'm the one that I'm not even worthy to tie the sandals of Jesus. Recognize that he is the Son of God. We need to commit ourselves to bear fruit, because we are those who are going to be sharing Christ with others, and we want his love to flow through us so that others may come to know him, and to be willing to lay everything on the table to bring others to him. Whatever it takes to be his voice, to say to others, the Jesus I know loves you, and that's why he came, because he loves you so much. I am so glad God chose to speak through his Son, Jesus. Something to be thankful for in this Christmas season and every day of our life. I want to ask you, has he been speaking to you? Is there something he has been calling you to do in this day in which we're living today? And maybe someone who is here or someone online who does not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and today can be your day of salvation. Call on his name. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Commit your life to him. And I want to tell you what, the fire of that Holy Spirit, you'll sense it in your heart, and your life will be changed. That's what Jesus wants to do for you. And my Christian friend, we may be living in the depths of depression in our day and time. We may be wondering what in the world is going to happen to us. We may have even some sin in our life that's blocked us from being able to sense the presence of God and his work in us. Would you ask him to forgive you, because you want to, out of thanksgiving, live a life that is worthy of the salvation and love that he's given you? There may be those who need a church home, and you may be online. This church staff would love to talk to you. I want to encourage you not to sit there and to be quiet about what you feel like God's want you to do. Call our staff. Hey, some of them or some of us will be glad to sit down and talk with you as God has spoken to you, to hear your story of how he has changed your life. I pray that we'll heed the voice of God, and that we will live out lives worthy of the Christmas gift of Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you so much for your love and your grace. I thank you for the opportunity that we have to hear these words of hope and truth. And Father, they are not man-made words. They are words that came from you. For all of those people that we are going to read about in this Christmas season, in our times of devotional reading, in our times of worship, in our times of Sunday school, help us to know that all of these things are testimonies of your great love and your grace. And Father, thank you so much for our salvation. Thank you so much for your presence in our lives each and every day. And Lord, may we be instruments of your love and your grace that continue to tell the story of Jesus. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Precious promise, Son of God and Son of Man. Heaven's glory in a manger has come to us in Bethlehem.
On our knees. Keith, we want to thank you for filling in for Andy today and giving us that message. We appreciate you being here. And as we pray today, I'm going to ask that you go to the door so people can greet you. Congregation, we want to thank you for joining us for worship this morning. If you're online, thank you for tuning in. I want to remind you that your deacon of the week, is it Aaron Hinton? It's Aaron Hinton. You saw him up here praying today. So if you have any needs this week and you can't reach Nicole or I at the church, you can call Aaron and he'll be happy to assist you. As we close out today, will you join me in prayer? God, we're so thankful to have been gathered together this morning in worship. And God, even though we can't all be together physically in this building, God, we are together in spirit. God, we thank you for the peace which only you can provide for us. The sweet peace that was ushered into this world as you came as a baby in the form of Jesus. God, as we go out into the world this morning, as we go forth into the world this week, help us to be agents of peace to those we love and to those we come in contact with. And God, may we be listening for your voice as you speak to us. It's in Christ and we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us.